All right, we are concluding our You Are Freed series. And this is the message that I've been waiting for. And you've probably been waiting for. And that your wife has probably been waiting for. For you to get free. So here it is. And I've entitled the message today, Free. And I want you to know that I'm going to lead everyone, if you'll let me, through a prayer of deliverance at the end of this message. And we're going to start down a road of freedom. And I say a road because freedom is a journey. It's a journey. It's a journey because freedom involves deliverance and discipleship. Charles Stanley's quote is, "You can't disciple a demon, and you can't cast out the flesh." So it's both deliverance and discipleship. And once you receive deliverance, it is critical to focus on discipleship. And I say that because if you don't, you can open the door again and welcome back in the same or different bondage and strongholds into your life. You follow? And in this series, I have hit hard on the need for deliverance and that we all need deliverance. Because many people never get delivered from a bondage because they don't think that they can be in bondage. Well, I mean, we talked about that extensively. And remember at the very beginning of the series, we talked about if you leave a door or a window open in your house and a thief comes in, he doesn't own your house, but he is in your house. Think of it like this. If you took drugs or alcohol into your body, even if you are a Christian, you are now under the influence of that drug or that alcohol, even though you are a Christian, right? Okay. In the same way, if a person begins looking at, let's say, pornography, you are opening yourself up to a spirit of lust that will come in and you will be under the influence of that spirit. And that spirit needs to be cast out, not in a spooky way. It's not spooky, but in an authoritative way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, and listen to me, then you need to train your mind to think differently. So we are going to go through and talk about being set free, all right? And I'm going to give you four keys to being set free. Here's number one. Recognize that you need help. Recognize that you need help. Now, we are going to springboard from the story of the prodigal son. But I really don't have the time this morning to read the whole story, so you might want to go back and read the whole story in Luke 15 a little bit later. But let's begin by looking at verse 17, talking about the prodigal son. It says, "But when he came to himself..." Another way to say that is when he came to his senses. Another way to say that is when he recognized that he needed help. Okay. "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?' Okay, let me say this. Many believers are living in the pig pen. Now remember, this was a son. This is a son. He is a son, and he's living in the pig pen, and he comes to himself. Now, I've said this before, and I have to continue to say this. The only people that I have ever seen that can't get free are the people that won't admit that they have a problem. And I want you to think about that. Because if you will simply admit it, then the Lord can set you free. Now, I don't want to spend much time on this point because hopefully by now you have recognized that you need help. And I need help. All of us do. So here's number two. Repent. Repent to God and others. Now, these next three points are, once you recognize that you have a problem, they are what you need to do. So, repent to God and others. Luke 15, verse 18 says, I will arise and go to my Father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I want you to notice, and before you. Okay, I want to bring out some things about repentance that really need to be understood. First of all, repentance and confession are not the same thing. Now, repentance includes confession. He confessed his sin. But you can confess your sins and not repent. In other words, you can say, yes, I did it and I am sorry. But not really repent. Stay with me here. Because we really need to understand what the word repentance means. Because there is a lot of wrong teaching on repentance. Okay, the word repentance comes from two Greek words. It's one Greek word, but it is made up of two. It is the Greek word metanoia. Meta means change. We get such words as metamorphosis from meta. It means change. Okay, noia means mind. Mind, it refers to the mind. So repentance means that you change your mind. You with me? Okay, listen to me carefully. But it is not just that you change your mind about your sin, it is also that you change your mind about yourself. You need to change your mind about who God created you to be. And you also need to change your mind about God. Change your mind about God in that God is not this person up there just waiting for you to mess up so he can bop you on the head. So you have to change. Change the way you think. And hear me, this is a process that Christians continue. You continue to repent. You can continue to repent from the day that you get saved. All right, another way to say it is this. Romans 12 said it this way. Renew your mind. Change your mind. Now, there's some teaching today that is really good on grace, but some people are taking it too far. And they're saying it, Well, they're taking it so far as to say that Christians don't ever have to repent again. Like, once you get saved, you never have to repent again. And the reason that they feel that way is they think that the word repent, and I've even heard pastors say this, and what they say includes this, but it's not the full definition. But I've heard people say repent means to turn from your sin. But that is not what the word means. Now, it includes that if you are in sin. If you are in sin and you change your mind about your sin, then you would turn from your sin. Okay? You with me? But what if you're not in sin and you change your mind about something? Stay with me. You need to continue to change your mind. Your mind needs to continue to be renewed. If Christians don't need to repent, then Jesus used the wrong word when he spoke to 5 of the 7 churches in Asia Minor. Because 5 of the 7 churches in Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus said, repent, referring to change your mind. Doesn't mean to turn from your sin. It means to change your mind about your sin, and then you can turn from it. We need to change our minds about our sin, or it won't work. So we need to repent to God. But here's the key: repent to God and to others. Because in the prodigal son, this boy went to his father and repented to his father. Let me show you a scripture about how important it is to be right with someone else so that you can also be right with God. Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24, it says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. In other words, here's what God is saying. If you want to get right with me, go get right first with your brother. First, and then come and get right with me. And James 5, verse 16 says, confess your trespasses. One version says faults. One version says sins. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Okay, the definition of this word healed means to free. Free from errors and sins. Okay, here's what he just said. Confess your sins to one another that you may be free. Now hear me. Think about an area of your life that's been a bondage for you. Okay? How many times have you confessed it to God and said, God, I will never do it again, but you still do it again? Okay, repentance means that we confess it and repent not only to God, but to those around us. You see, he goes to his father. Remember, the prodigal son said, I've sinned against God, and he didn't say you, he said before you. Meaning, you saw me do this. So he confesses it to his father. We need to confess sin. Now listen, you don't need to come up here right now and grab the microphone and confess it in front of everyone. But you do need to confess sin. If you are married, to your spouse, to those who are in relationship with you, to those you are accountable to spiritual authority. Here's what I'm saying. You need to bring it out into the light. Because you know where Satan works? He works in the darkness. Bring it into the light. And here's what we tend to do. We fall to a sin, and we say, Lord, I am sorry, I confess it to you, and I ask you to forgive me, and we stop right there and go right on, and we keep it in the dark. Friends, if you really want to get free, you need to bring it out into the light. Put as much light on it as possible. So, repent to God and others. Here's number three. Renounce the lies of Satan. Renounce the lies of Satan. Let me just make a very clear statement. Every bondage begins with a lie. Every bondage, whatever bondage you have, there is a lie that you have believed. And you have to renew your mind. You have to change the way you think so that you can get out of that lie. Look down at verse 25, Luke 15, verses 25 to 29. And this is talking about the older son. It says, now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him, in other words, your father has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry, okay, the older brother was angry, and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. Now, I want you to watch the absolutes that he uses going forward. Absolutes like always and never. Okay? Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. Okay, let's stop right here for a moment. Let me just show you that there are two lies just right there. Okay? He said, I never transgressed your commandment at any time. Okay, I know that is a lie because he was not Jesus. Anybody here have children? Anybody here have a perfect child? No. They transgress. Okay? Here's what he was saying. I never disobeyed you. I've never done one thing wrong. It's a lie. He believes a lie. And the other lie I can show you, it's a lie, just watch. He said, you never even gave me a goat. Never gave me one goat. Okay, stay with me here, okay? Because at the beginning of this story, the younger son goes and says, give me my inheritance. Let me show you Luke 15, verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Now watch carefully. So he divided, the father, he divided to them. He divided to them his livelihood. Okay, did you all see the word them? So he divided to them his livelihood. And listen, because the older son was the firstborn, according to that custom and that culture, and according to the Bible, listen, he actually got twice as much. So the younger son got a third, and the older son got two-thirds. But he said, you never even gave me one goat. I would think that the father is thinking, I gave you two-thirds of the company. Now look at this as well. Luke 15, verse 31. He said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. You are always with me, and all that I have is yours. Okay, I want you to think about something. When you think about that statement, and you have to understand that I used to be an educator, so grammar, it just jumps out at me. I can't help it. It just jumps out at me, okay? And that statement is odd grammatically. Now, it's absolutely true scripturally, obviously, but it's odd grammatically. Pay attention. It begins in second person, and it ends in first person. He says, you are always with me, and all that I have is, okay, all that I have, and you have to remember, he is the subject of this sentence, all that I have is yours. Now, I would have thought, grammatically speaking, it would have said, I am with you, and all that I have is yours. Because we know that God is with us. Because God said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, and I'm with you until the end of the age, always, right? But he makes this statement, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. Here's what that says to me. Listen. As long as we are with him, all that he has is ours. That's what he's trying to say. Son, you were here with me the whole time. You had everything. Okay, I want you to understand something. The older son never left home, but he still went into bondage. Listen, he was in bondage to bitterness, to unforgiveness, to resentment, to hate, to jealousy, to envy. We can see it because the younger brother comes home and he's not even going to go to the party. Now hear me, when we tell the story of the prodigal son, there are many, many people in church that think, that's not me. Well, there are two sons in the story. And I want you to be honest. Do you have the tendency to be the older son? Do you have the tendency to think, well, I never left home like those other brothers or sisters? I never transgressed the father. I mean, I've made mistakes, but I've never. And then you're like, and Lord, just look at how you are blessing them. You haven't blessed me like that. Are you in bondage like the older son to jealousy and envy and strife and bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment? Okay, I'm going to tell you something that maybe you've never thought of before. I believe that the older son was just as in bondage as the younger son. Just as in bondage. And we see here a lie that is all through society. Let me just kind of say it that way. Let me explain. Let me give you an example. I remember one time, several years ago, I was preparing for a funeral for this godly man. He was a former pastor, and his wife and his two children came in, because I always like to get stories from the family before I prepare a message. And I was meeting with them, and the girls, they were sharing stories about their father. At one point, one daughter said, "Oh, you were always Dad's favorite child." In a nice way, but she meant it. And her sister said, "Oh, no. You were always Dad's favorite. I always thought you were Dad's favorite." Now, mind you, they both grew up in a great Christian home. And each of them believed that the other was the favorite. Each of them believed the other was the favorite child. Can anyone relate, maybe? Can I tell you what that is? It's a lie of Satan. Let me share some other lies. Have you ever heard someone say this? "Well, I was the oldest child, so I have to be in control." Why don't you just say it straight out? "So I have a spirit of control attached to me." "Well, I am the youngest child, so I always have to have my way. I can't help it." Why don't you just say it? "I have a spirit of selfishness attached to me." "Well, I'm a middle child, so I'm the neglected one." Or, "I am an only child, so..." Or, "I grew up in a large family, so..." Listen to me. Listen to me. You have been adopted into a new family. A new family. It doesn't matter what family you grew up in. You're in a new family now. Let me tell you who you are. You are a child of God. You were born again by the Word of God, kept by the power of God, sealed by the Holy Spirit of the promise until the day of redemption. You are seated in heavenly places. He has put all things under your feet. He has given you authority over all of the power of the enemy. You are more than a conqueror through Him. You always triumph in Him, and greater is He in you that is He that is in the world. My friends, that is who you are. That's who you are now. So if you're going to get free, you're going to have to renounce the lies of Satan. And here's number four. Receive the gifts of the Father. Receive the gifts of the Father. Luke 15, verse 22 says, "The Father said to His servants, 'Bring out the best robe, put it on Him, put a ring on His hand, sandals on His feet.'" Okay, so what does the robe and the ring and the sandals represent? Quickly, okay? The robe represents the robe of righteousness. Isaiah 61, verse 10 says, "He covered me with the robe of righteousness." Friends, if you're going to get free, you're going to have to receive forgiveness in the righteousness of God. Your righteousness, my friends, comes from God and what Jesus did for you on the cross, not from your own work. Secondly, the ring of authority. Listen, the ring represents authority. Do you remember when Pharaoh put Joseph in command? He gave him his ring and said, "No one can go anywhere or do anything without your authority. You are the second highest in the land." And he gave him his ring to prove it. And Jesus, listen, Jesus gave us authority. In Luke 10, verse 19, he said, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions." That's demonic spirits he's talking about. "And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Friends, we have to receive God's authority over the enemy. These are gifts from the Father. The third is the sandals, or the shoes of power. Okay, the shoes of power. And listen, this gift of power from the Lord is not something. It's someone. Acts 1 verse 8 says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." All right, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. In just a moment, I'm going to pray over you. I would like to pray over everybody in the church. And here's the reason why I say that. If there is any bondage in your life, wouldn't you like to get free? Sure you would. So in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And as you stand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And then I'm going to take authority over Satan in Jesus' name. So I want to pray for you. And I want to pray for the whole church and everybody online and everybody listening on the radio. So I would like for you, if you're able, to stand. If you can't stand, just raise your hand. I'm going to pray over every person and just take authority over the enemy and tell him to go. So I'd like to ask you to just pray after me out loud, all right? I want you to say, "Father, I ask you to forgive me for all my sin. And I ask you to release me from every bondage in Jesus' name." Now I want to pray for you. Lord, right now, by the authority you have given me, I take authority over Satan and I address every demonic spirit that has held my brothers and sisters in bondage in Jesus' name. And I command you to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, it is not the authority of my voice, it is the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters are covered by the blood of the Lamb. They overcome by the word of their testimony. They are born again, and not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever. And the angels who are mighty in strength watch over your word to perform it. And the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is sweeter than honey and purer than gold. And his name is the word of God. And by the word of God and by the blood of the Lamb, we are set free today. I take authority over every spirit of bitterness or unforgiveness or resentment or hate or malice or envy or jealousy, and I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke every spirit of insecurity or inferiority or fear or rejection or self-hate or self-pity or self-destruction in Jesus' name. Suicide, I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of anger or rage or murder or violence or lawlessness, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of sexual immorality, sexual impurity, adultery, fornication, lust, pornography, all forms of sexual impurity, I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of pride or lying or Jezebel spirit, rebellion, deception, manipulation, control, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of criticism, judgmentalism, arrogance, prejudice, or racism, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of greed, materialism, selfishness, covetousness, selfish ambition, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Addiction, alcoholism, drunkenness, drugs, gluttony, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of legalism or religious pride or heresy or false doctrine, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of stealing or slothfulness, laziness, unbelief, rebellion to authority, go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of guilt, shame, embarrassment, humiliation, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of sickness or disease, infirmities, chronic health issues, I say go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of witchcraft or the occult or blasphemy, I command you to go in Jesus' name. I break every word, curse, and spell spoken into my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. Every generational curse, I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. Every demonic spirit that has held my brothers and sisters in bondage here at NFBC, listening to my voice on the internet or listening on the radio, right now I command you to go in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Worship team, would you please come up right now? Friends, I just took authority over every demonic spirit coming against you. Now, what's next? Well, don't open the door back open again. And you need to stay in God's Word. And you need to immerse yourself into this Christian community that you are part of. I declare today, in Jesus' name, you are set free. And the one the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen.